Our first reading is from Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it's good to be here. Short notice and all, but it's good. It's good to be in this place. See so many friends and acquaintances of many years. And although we haven't moved as often as we're used to, it's good sometimes to be able to count the days of friendship and the people that we've known through the years. Thanks for asking me to come. So what do you suppose would be the response if you went out into the streets around the church or across South Charleston or even Charleston and asked the question, what gives you hope? Or maybe, what signs do you see that we should have hope today? You know, a little man on the street interview thing. And I'm sure there'd be a wide range of answers given. From some not being able to see anything that makes them hopeful, to others that would see unlimited signs of hope for today and for the future to come. People would see different signs of hope depending on what is going on in their lives at that particular moment, and perhaps how much they are following the news of the day. By the way, has anybody been interviewed by someone asking random questions? I One time before we came to here, to West Virginia, I was stopped as I entered the grocery store and was asked about my eating and purchasing habits as regards to healthy foods. Fortunately, I was on my way home from working out and had stopped to buy bananas. So I imparted some wisdom as to why eating bananas was good for you. I must have sounded convincing because it was the lead story on that particular part of the evening news. But that's the only time it's happened. Well, I'm sure those being interviewed would talk about the pandemic, the economy, jobs, unemployment, budget deficits, environmental issues, maybe others, as signs of a bleak picture of how we are living. Or if you have a good job, a good home in a safe neighborhood, great family life with close connection to your children, grandchildren, then you would have lots of hope for the future. Surviving cancer or some other severe disease would give you a greater sense of hope for whatever the future might bring. Being sober from alcohol or drug dependency might encourage you to see better days ahead. I'm sure there'd be lots of reasons to have hope. You can add your own to the list. But I doubt that any would give distress among nations as a sign of hope. We have a lot of that going on in the world right now. Most of us see that as a sign that there's a lot wrong with humanity, not as a sign of hope for what is to come. But that is what Jesus is reported to have said. Distress among nations is but one sign among others. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, confusion caused by the roaring of the seas and waves, people fainting from fear and foreboding. Wow, it's hard to see that as signs of hope. This is quite a way to usher in the Advent season as we move toward the celebration of our Lord's birth. Advent stands at odds with the pristine beauty and tranquility that the culture hopes for this time of year. The stores have everything in place, except for the socks that are back ordered or shipping delayed. The store windows are carefully arranged. The sales flyers have been distributed, and the proceeds have been counted from the first big weekend. Advent challenges us to see so much of what is familiar and comfortable in a new light. Advent kind of jerks us out of our complacency. Instead of preparing for the birth of a baby, we get a reading about end times. How odd that in the midst of the most joyful and hopeful time of the year, we get an intensified feeling of darkness. And we feel the darkness, don't we, in the uncertainty of our times, the ongoing tensions between countries, the number of violent deaths, the mass shootings. There is income disparities, poverty, and the fact that such a thing as the working poor can exist. Food pantries in some areas are serving 20% of the population. There is open disdain for the stranger among us. There are sexism, racism, other isms and phobias that I cannot even pronounce. And the political posturing that gets more weird and unsettling every day. Positions are taken that are far beyond the scope of those normally presented by people in office. And just as it affects the political scene, the distinction between conservative and progressive causes and position takes a lot of energy out of our churches, as the lines of stated positions are firmly drawn without the possibility of recognizing that we might not be 100% sure that we are right. And maybe acknowledging that fact would help to reduce a lot of tension in our lives. It is understandable that people would be anxious about these days in which we live. And it's good to see the light of the Advent candle shining into the darkness of these days. So, is the promise of the coming of the Son of Man good news or bad news? For some or for all? Jesus said it will be a fearful thing for everybody, but then adds the words of comfort. Verse 28 reads, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Sort of a mixture of warning and comfort. A word of judgment to help us stay focused on the reality of this season rather than to get lost in the hustle and bustle of the holidays. The Son of Man will come to challenge our comfort and the ways in which we have adapted to the systems of our culture. The righteous branch springing up from David comes as an agent of justice. Bad news for all that is unjust. And if we are honest, we all participate in unjust systems. We all participate in unjust systems and often benefit from them. During this rush to Christmas, it's hard to see the love of Christ and our faith of God in action. Of course, we give to the food pantries and buy toys for kids we don't know. And that's a good thing. But how generous is it to give a $10 toy when you're buying a $300 item for your own family? Is it enough to give someone a meal without doing something about the hardship in their way of living? Or without even sharing God's word of life with them? How ready are we for the coming day of judgment? Will we stand firm? Do we have that level of commitment and assurance? Have we prepared for that day? Today's Advent message is that we should prepare for a paradigm shift, one that will challenge the systems and structures that we hold dear. The things that have pacified us for so long are expected to be overthrown, replaced with systems of true justice. Now is the time for redemption of the downtrodden and oppressed, but also of entire systems and those who benefit from them. Redemption is coming so that all may participate in God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus doesn't need to see how busy we are. He wants to see our faith and our love. Do we trust in the promises of God? Do we believe that God saves? That is faith. Love is the outpouring of that faith into the world. We've been given the gift of forgiveness of sins by the grace of God. We have the assurance of this gift because God completed the work of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have heard the word, and the promise is true. The word of hope is that whatever life brings, God is with us, giving us strength to endure whatever comes, even the end of times as we know it. We are to humbly live as if we know that to be true. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We have met the Savior, and now we share that redeeming love with the world. The gift of life must be shared. The valuable gift of the Word of God, God's mercy and forgiveness, that's the heart, the very heart of our faith. Share it with love. Bring hope to others as you have received hope. To the glory of God. Amen. May the God of hope make you holy, and the power of the Spirit sustain you until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.